We're at a table with four California Democratic Party delegates, none of whom have yet made up their minds on who they're going to vote for in the Democratic presidential primary in March. And we're excited to have you all here. So let's go around the table and maybe have you, each of you, introduce yourself.
My name is Keen Chacuaneta. I work with a local labor union that unionizes healthcare workers.
And you're 27 years old and you're from Richmond.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Joe Griego. I am the Chief Technology Officer for the Mono County Office of Education, but I live in Bishop, California, in Inyo County, California, and I am one of our county delegates.
Cool, and you're 54 years old?
I'm 54 years old.
All right, and next?
My name is Rosemary Wren, and I'm an educator and a student in San Luis Obispo County, California, and I'm also the chair of our county Democratic Party. I'm 55 years old.
And you wanted to be clear that you were speaking for yourself and not for the party.
Exactly, thank you.
All right, and?
I'm Mimi Falcone. I'm from Irvine, California. I'm 56 years old and a small business owner.
All right. Why don't we start by just going around and asking for your opening impressions of the weekend? You've had a chance to hear from 14 Democratic presidential candidates. That's about two-thirds of the 23 candidates who have declared so far. And so what stood out to you the most? What's each of your takeaways from this weekend? Let's start with Keen.
Okay. I have to say that some of the candidates who maybe I wasn't so hot on earlier impressed me with their rhetoric and the way that they were able to kind of get across, I guess, certain policies, ideas, values even.
Like who?
For instance, Mayor Pete Buttigieg. He's somebody who I've been extremely skeptical of, and I think that he did a really good job.
And why were you skeptical about him?
I honestly think that his policy or his rhetoric doesn't actually have a lot of kind of substantive kind of policy undergirding it. And I guess one thing that's really important for me is not only, you know, we always say who can win, who's electable, but for me it's how can you solve the problems that got us here? And that's why I still remain relatively skeptical of him.
And Joe, what stood out to you from this weekend?
I think changing hearts and minds requires engaging people's emotions. Donald Trump does an excellent job at that. I wish he didn't, but he does, right? It resonates with people, the things that he says. And that's what I was hoping to gain. So I wanted to hear people speak so that I could hear whether or not they had an emotional hook and whether or not I could relate that to our constituency back in Inyo County.
And?
I did. I was excited to hear some folks speak. Some folks were a lot more dry than I had hoped. I liked, for example, what Elizabeth Warren had to say. She does, in fact, have a plan for everything. And she really strikes me as a policy wonk, which speaks to me, but she is not as powerful an orator, which is a requirement, it seems like. When I heard, for example, Tulsi Gabbard, I didn't know that much about her, but she is can be a passionate speaker. But policy-wise, I need to make sure that I can go back and report to my constituents in Inyo County, well, here's what she says, here how exciting she can be, here are her policies. So we'll see. I'm excited to see what might happen in November.
Rosemary?
Yeah, I'm with Keen on this, where I heard from people who I was pretty skeptical about and felt a lot more energized by them than before. So Mayor Pete and Beto are actually two that got my attention more than they had before. I'm with you, though, on Elizabeth Warren and her policies and her plans. I think of all the speakers, she had the most to support what she wants to do. And it was a really great opportunity, I think, for Californians to hear from these candidates, because we are an important state in the upcoming election, and I think it was very important for us to get to hear from them.
And Mimi, your takeaways from the weekend?
Well, I was really anxious to hear from some of the candidates that I had read and heard from, but shockingly, by the end of the weekend, the ones that I was most eager to listen to were not the most memorable in my mind. And
what do you mean by that?
I was really excited to hear Mayor Pete, and in my opinion, did not deliver. I really, and also Beto, I was very excited to hear it from, and just kind of meh about. Elizabeth Warren, I was so pleasantly surprised by how engaging she was, as well as Cory Booker really surprised me. And then I was at the Veterans Caucus last night and heard from Tulsi, and she was, and really didn't know much about her coming into this, and was very impressed.
So we actually have at the table here, we have two of you voted for Bernie Sanders in the 2016 presidential primary, Keen and Rosemary, and Joe and Mimi, you both voted for Hillary Clinton in the primary, and then all four of you voted for Clinton in the general election. It gives everyone an idea of, we have kind of a different set of views around the table. What are you most looking for in who you are going to vote for in March? There's this debate over policy views versus electability, or trying to have the best combination of the two. Where do each of you fall on that? And this time, let's start with Joe.
I think what's most important to me is, if I am honest with myself, electability. I wish I could say it was policy, but the Democratic Party planks are something that align with my values. And so, honestly, I'm not so worried about who specifically, as long as they are support the Democratic Party planks, and all of the members do. So for me, I'm looking for electability.
Does that mean that you will vote for the candidate in March who you think has the best shot of winning?
In all likelihood, yes.
Rosemary?
What I'm looking for is a candidate with integrity, who is also someone who I believe can lead. That being said, whoever does come out of the convention in 2020, I will support that candidate as a Democrat, because like Joe said, if they've adopted the Democratic Party principles and values, then I'm good with that.
Mimi?
I'm all about electability. I feel we have to get Trump out of office, and I will vote for whoever will get him out of office.
And Keen?
I actually, the way that I look at it is, we are where we are, and we have the president that we have, because I think that a lot of people were ignored to the point where they felt like this process wasn't working for them. And while I understand the concerns about, you know, electability, I also think that if we have that conversation now, we might be kind of closing the door on certain candidates. I mean, if you look at last cycle, the candidate who, at least on the Republican side, was polling the highest at this time was Jeb Bush, and we all know how that turned out. So, and I'm not saying that that's what you're saying now, right? But I think that there are a set of problems within, like, American society, both, like, in our politics and in our economy, that have led us to where we are. So things like income inequality that kind of reach out into every facet of our political life now are extremely important to me. And if you can show me that you have a plan to combat that on multiple fronts, you'll have my vote next year.
Just want to reintroduce who we're all speaking with here on Capital Public Radio. We're gathered at the California Democratic Party Convention with four delegates for the state party, and we're speaking on Sunday morning after the convention wrapped up. You just heard from Keen Chukwuneta of Richmond, 27-year-old organizer for a local healthcare union. Before that, you heard from Mimi Falcone, who's a small business owner in Irvine. She's 56 years old. Rosemary Wren, a part-time lecturer and doctorate student in San Luis Obispo County. She's also the chair of that county's Democratic Party, but she's only speaking for herself. She's 55. And the first voice in that last round of questions was Joe Griego, who works for the Mono County Office of Education and lives in Inyo County. He's 54 years old. Several of the candidates seem to sense what's on many of your minds, the electability question, and sought to offer counterarguments to that. So let's hear these two pieces of tape from Elizabeth Warren and Pete Buttigieg.
Take it from this Midwesterner. Though he is deservedly unpopular, this president really could win again. We're not going to let that happen, are we? We'd better not. But he wins if we look like defenders of the system. He wins if we look like more of the same. He wins if we look like Washington. And so the riskiest thing we could do is try too hard to play it safe.
Some Democrats in Washington believe the only changes we can get are tweaks and nudges. If they dream at all, they dream small. Some say if we all just calm down, the Republicans will come to their senses. But our country is in a time of crisis. The time for small ideas is over.
So, starting this time with Rosemary, I wonder what you think when you hear the candidates say those things.
A mentor of mine once said, sometimes you have to put a stick in the spokes of the bike wheel to stop and really shake things up a little bit to get things back on track. So I believe that the candidate that can lead us to beating Trump is the one who can show young people, who can show underrepresented people that that person has their values and their best interest in mind.
And Mimi, so when you hear many of the candidates take implied jabs, I think most likely at Joe Biden, what are your thoughts when you hear a candidate say, like Elizabeth Warren or Pete Buttigieg, we have to think big, we can't just be incremental?
Well, I think that the reasons that Trump got in, and one of the biggest problems that we have since he got in, was promising to shake it up, bring in new people, drain the swamp, as it were. And now we have people in some of the highest positions in our country with no experience, who are completely incompetent in the position and role that they're in. And I think that has awakened a large percentage of the population who, prior to this election, were, like myself, just kind of somewhat paying attention. Now I'm fully paying attention. And I think that will help us if we provide a clear message, a clear mission, a clear path. And if that candidate can do that, keeping it very simple, like Trump kept it very simple, and whichever candidate can do that is going to be our best chance at beating Trump.
Keen, I would imagine that quotes like that speak to you.
Yeah. I think if you start thinking about political considerations before you've put together your policy proposal, you're doing this backwards. Policy is meant to solve problems. I think everybody here would agree that the United States has problems. So if you're thinking about, how many votes will I lose if I say this, instead of just trying to address the problems that people have, the end result of that is government not working for people. And that's how people lose hope. And hopeless people, I don't want to say that they don't turn out to vote, but, hopeless people. I think one of the most dangerous things that can happen in a democracy is people losing faith.
Joe, you're among the most concerned at this table with electability. So what do you make of quotes like the mayors and the senators?
I think that big ideas are necessary. But the key is that the candidates need to make sure that those big ideas connect with the people in the country. And I mean all of the people in this country. I come from a very rural, very red county, and those people felt left behind. They felt ignored, and they felt that whatever they did didn't really matter. And they would reach for anything that made them feel relevant, that made them feel someone was listening to them. And if you can make a big idea resonate with their real life, that to me is electability.
So I think there's maybe one more round of questions that I have for the table. And I'm going to throw some names out there of candidates. Three candidates who we haven't really spoken about yet at this table. Bernie Sanders, whom two of you voted for 4 years ago in the primary. It doesn't sound like any of you are necessarily sure that you're going to go with him again. I'm curious why. California's own U.S. Senator, Kamala Harris. No one's mentioned her so far, but here we are on her home turf. She was very present throughout the weekend, but again, doesn't quite seem, even though you're all familiar with her and you've cheered her on at many conventions, doesn't necessarily seem like any of your first choices. And Vice President Biden, because he's leading in the polls. So just maybe a few words on your thoughts on each of them. And this round, I guess we will start with Mimi.
I really was excited about Kamala when I came to the convention. I heard her speak. I've heard her speak now over the weekend every day in different capacities. And while I think on a singular issue, she's excellent, when she spoke to the general session, I was not as impressed, which really surprised me. In my opinion, I don't think she has it to carry it nationally. Bernie, I heard speak briefly at the Veterans Caucus last night, and I feel a little bit that he's polarizing outside of our party. And I believe that the electability factor is we have to, as a party, get those NPPs on our side.
NPP, that of course is no party preference. It's California's version of registered as an independent voter.
And the moderate Republicans who are unhappy with Trump, we have to get them to vote Democrat. And we do that by finding commonality. And maybe Bernie has that commonality. I'm not so sure. And as far as Biden, he wasn't here this weekend. I have been able to hear him in person speak and think he's wonderful. But again, I don't know, you know, all of them have the name recognition that is required, the experience. However, they are all three people that raise the rankles of some. And while you're not going to make everyone happy, it's nice to get started without that baggage.
All right, Keen.
Yeah, I guess what I'll do is I'll start with the candidate that I feel most negatively about and then work my way back from there. That's definitely Joe Biden. And I mean, the reason is this. I think, well, first off, I'm the youngest person here, probably 27. And I feel like he discounts a lot of our pain and the issues that matter to us in ways that I think are extremely disrespectful, trying to say things like, oh, well, you know, millennials, you know, they complain about this, they complain about that. I'm lucky, but many of my friends are not. Many of them are crippled by student loan debt. Many of them will probably never be able to buy a home in their lives. Yeah, I find Biden to be pretty offensive in that way. Kamala Harris, her record as the district attorney here in San Francisco and how her office related to working people kind of freaks me out a little bit. And I'll kind of just leave it at that. And then as for Senator Sanders, I think a lot of the issues that we're talking about now as the Democratic Party in 2019 are issues that he put on the map in 2015 and 2016. And I think that says a lot, especially considering these are the same things he's been talking about basically for the last 40 years.
But you're not necessarily looking at him to vote, looking to vote for him?
No, because I also think Senator Warren might actually be doing a better job of fleshing out what some of these policy ideas look like. But that doesn't mean that Senator Sanders hasn't played an important role in tacking the conversation left in a way where Senator Warren even has the space to do what she's doing.
Joe, you didn't vote for Sanders 4 years ago, so I would imagine you probably won't vote for him this year. What are your thoughts on Biden and Harris?
Initially, I liked Joe Biden a lot. Obviously, if I admired the Obama presidency a great deal, and that carries a lot of cachet for Senator Biden, but I was dismayed by his recent remarks disavowing his 94 crime bill. It devastated communities of color, and he pretended like he didn't have anything to do with that. And I felt that that was disingenuous. So I'm not a big Joe Biden fan. I did have a chance to hear Kamala Harris speak, and she did not inspire the passion or the emotion that I had hoped for.
Why do you think that is?
That's a great question. I heard Cory Booker speak, and it was more inspiring. I think the key is you have to tie into the mindset that voters want to see in their candidate, our very best self, America's very best self. And I didn't hear that from Kamala Harris, unfortunately, which I was a little surprised about. I had really hoped for some more soaring rhetoric and a little more emotional connection.
All right, and so we'll end this round with Rosemary. You did vote for Bernie Sanders 4 years ago, so curious as to your thoughts about him, as well as Senator Harris and Vice President Biden.
Sure. Well, I'll start with Vice President Biden, who I have a lot of admiration for. I was extremely disappointed that he chose not to be here this weekend.
Do you think he would have been booed if he had been here?
That's possible, but we saw two candidates up there who had the fortitude to come up and say what they want, that what they believed in, and they did get booed, but they were here. And I feel that in my mind it's kind of a metaphor for doing the same thing we've been doing all along, that he is assuming that he has the support and that he doesn't have to invest the time here. And I find that very unfortunate. I like Kamala Harris a lot. I was inspired by her. It's funny listening because we all heard different things from different people. I have a lot of respect for Kamala Harris. I find her to be a strong leader, and I can picture her leading this country. She's not my first choice of candidate, but I do think that she could be an extremely strong leader. I'm thinking less of what I heard this weekend and more about what I've seen her do in Washington, D.C. Bernie Sanders has been saying and doing the same thing for 40 years. Bernie went last night, because I know because I followed him, to every single caucus on this floor. And he spoke, he was the first presidential candidate to ever go to the Arab American caucus. That was very meaningful. And I think it's also, again, it's a metaphor for the kind of person and the kind of candidate and the kind of leader that Bernie is that he is there for the people.
Could we end with two lightning round questions? The first, give me your first and second choices as of this moment in the primary. And then the second lightning round question is, will you vote for the Democratic nominee for president no matter what, whether it's anyone ranging from Bernie Sanders to Joe Biden? Keen, do you want to take a stab at those two lightning round questions first? They don't need to be long answers.
Yeah, sure. Tied for one, Sanders, Warren, and absolutely yes. I mean, anything is better than Donald Trump that we have forward right now.
Joe Griego.
Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker. I was inspired by Cory Booker. I think Elizabeth Warren could be an effective legislator and a wonderful leader.
And will you vote for anyone, for any Democrat for president?
Over any Republican, yes, every day of the week.
Rosemary Wren?
I'm with Keen, literally tied with Bernie and Elizabeth. I think either one of them would, I would be ecstatic to see either one of them on the top of the ticket. And barring that, yes, I will vote for the Democratic nominee in 2020.
And Mimi Falcone.
Well, this is coming back full circle. I'm Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, and yes, I will vote Democrat no matter what.
And now, all of you together, can you name the 23 presidential candidates? Can you put your heads together and name all 23?
If you give us 15 minutes, we'll get
it.
If I can Google it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, all of you, for making the time to talk. I'm just going to let everyone know who you are one last time. Keen Chukwuneta from Richmond, an organizer for a local healthcare union. Joe Griego from Inyo County, who works for the Mono County Office of Education. Rosemary Wren, who's a part-time lecturer and doctorate student from San Luis Obispo County. And Mimi Falcone, who's a small business owner from Irvine in Orange County. Thank you so much for talking with Capital Public Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.